Help us commence this evening with hymn number 89. When Adam by transgression fell, and conscious fled his Maker's face, linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future race. The seeds of evil once brought in, increased and filled the world with sin. Number 89.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth, and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. May God bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. O thou most holy and almighty Lord God in heaven, oh, do look down upon a poor group of sinners this evening, gathered round thy word. Lord, at the close of this day, Lord, our desire is this, that thou wouldst grant thy gracious presence to us this evening, we pray, that thou would abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. O Lord, do come and make our happiness complete. Grant us, Lord, thy gracious presence. Also send thy Holy Spirit, we pray. May there be that application of thy word this evening. For Lord, it's only words unless thou dost apply it. Although sown in much weakness, in fear and trembling, yet may it be in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And Lord, may it pull down those barriers that Satan puts up. O Lord, may thy word this night conquer our hearts. Do come, Lord Jesus, this night, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us this day. So, Lord, we would bring each before thee. Thou knowest the cases and concerns. There may be some, Lord, who have come unconcerned, who hear of a never-ending eternity, but, Lord, it passes them by. Lord, we cannot solemnize these things to ourselves. Oh, but we do pray that thou art, in love and mercy, unstop the deaf ears. Oh, give sight to blind eyes. Convince us of our sins, then lead to Jesus' blood. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt begin where thou hast not yet begun. O Lord, bring sinners into want. Bring prodigals, Lord, to their right minds. Bring them into want. O Lord, lead them back to the Father's house. And may the honour and glory be given to thee. Lord, we do need thy gracious influence this evening. We cannot worship thee rightly. We cannot hear unless thou dost give us an open ear and hearts to receive. Lord, we do pray then that thou would come right where we are. And we read of thy compassion. Thou just have compassion on that multitude. O Lord, do have compassion on us. Here we pray. And empty, send us not away. Lord, as thou didst not send away that multitude, empty. O Lord, may that bread of life be broken in our presence this evening. And may there be a portion for each. Lord, we do pray that thou give each soul a hunger for it. Oh, give us that thirst for living waters. Lord, do create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. And Lord, those whom thou hast begun that work of grace in their heart, Lord, oh, do continue. Oh, Lord, we do pray that they may be brought soon, if it could please thee, into that assurance that they are thine. Oh, Lord, and we would pray for those who have long sought thee and seem to struggle on week by week. Oh Lord, do have mercy upon them. Oh, may they be enabled to continue calling upon thee. Oh Lord, do draw out a prayer from them. Oh, may it be, give me Christ or else I die. May they give thee no rest, Lord, till thou dost grant them their heart's desire. Oh, but keep Satan from us. Lord, we would remember those who are walking in that pathway, have openly professed thy name. Oh, how we need to be kept. We cannot, dare not on our own works lean. Oh, Lord, then may we be found leaning on all-sufficient grace. May we be found leaning upon thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou art confirm our evidences. Oh, those who feel cold, that those, Lord, that may feel a hard heart, Lord, even as we gather round thy table, sometimes we feel a distance, a coldness, a deadness. Oh, we have to prove that no man can keep alive his own soul. We're wholly dependent upon thee for everything. We're such sinful creatures. But Lord, have mercy upon us. And remember us for good, we pray. Show us a token. Even this night, Lord, do touch our hearts with love divine. Do breathe that breath of life into us. May that flame that almost seems to be quenched be fanned into a flame. May our hearts be burning within us as we leave thy house this night. Oh Lord, we are unworthy, wretched sinners. Oh, we've much to mourn over. We're not what we should be. Lord, we cannot promise anything good to bring, but we plead that blood that did for sin atone. Oh, do take each heart and plunge it in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Do wash us free from every stain, every sin, and pardon and forgive our every transgression. We would, Lord, bring before Thee Thy dear servant found amongst us this evening. Lord, we do pray that the words spoken in Thy name this day may be owned and blessed by Thee. O, keep Satan from him. O, Lord, uphold and support him in his future pathway. We do pray for his dear wife also, that they may be upheld by Thee. And Lord, may those things that he's spoken enter in and bless him in his own soul, we pray. Do continue to make him a blessing to our churches, Lord, we pray. Sustain him and help him, and grant those signs following the word, following the preaching for thy honour and glory. Lord, we would seek those blessings for each of thy servants, where'er they're found in this land and throughout the world, and where'er thy people meet. Lord, faithfully, fearfully in thy name, oh, do grant thy gracious help. May the Spirit come and pour out amongst us, Lord. We think of our denomination and pray that thou remember us in our low estate. Oh, Lord, do turn again our captivity. Lord, do shine upon us. Dispel those clouds and deluge thy garden with radiant beams. Lord, we do pray that we may see that right hand planting of our Heavenly Father. Lord, we would pray for the church here. Oh, do remember them week by week, we pray. Take not thy Holy Spirit from them. Oh, do maintain this cause of truth here. May this pulpit ever be filled with thy faithful servants, that the glorious gospel ever faithfully proclaimed. Oh, do continue this spring of living water. May it flow out into the souls of the hearers, we pray. Lord, we do pray that thou remember each, Lord, as we journey to that great day. Oh, we do pray that thou open our eyes to behold the day in which we live. Oh Lord, and who can stand at that great day? Oh, do strip us of anything short of Christ that we build on. May we be found building upon the rock. May each who gather here week by week be found amongst thy dear people in heaven at last. May not a hoof be left behind. Oh, for how can we bear that piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them dost call? Oh, then, Lord, bless us each. Cause us to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning, and lead us, Lord, unto thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lead us to Calvary, and see there mercy streams in streams of blood. Do then bless us now as we turn to thy word. Have mercy upon us, we pray. We are poor and needy, unworthy, guilty, yet we We plead that thou would have mercy upon us. We plead acceptance in thy beloved Son. We plead his finished work, his precious blood, his righteousness, as we ask all in his worthy name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Hymn 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies? But in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. 1036.
Thank you.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from a few words at the close of verse 28. Bid me come unto thee. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and those few words at the close of the 28th verse. Bid me come unto thee. The whole verse reads, And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I feel it right to begin by setting the verse in context, the words laid on my spirit in the context in which they're found. The disciples having been constrained immediately following witnessing that great miracle of the breaking of those loaves and fishes and the feeding of those 5,000 men beside women and children, and immediately the Lord constrained them to get into a ship. And in love he did it. Oh, for their real good he did it. Had they really beheld with the eye of faith what had taken place? Are they like us, prone to sit through things and not really anything enter in? But oh, the Lord immediately constrained them to get into that ship and to cross over to the other side. And he went himself alone up into a mountain to pray, knowing what was before his people on that ship. Wasn't by chance that this ship was found, tossed to and fro. Oh, you see, there was faith to be increased. There was a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to be taught to his disciples. Oh, there was lessons to be taught to them of their own weaknesses. May the Lord teach us our weaknesses. May the Lord increase our faith. May the Lord use our circumstances for our real eternal good. But oh, they were found without the bodily presence of their Lord and Master. And they set sail, and following his command. And soon they ran into trouble. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Oh, many sermons could be preached on this. The life of a believer, the walk of a believer, setting sail on his voyage, constrained by the Lord to leave the shore, to venture forth. Then comes a storm. But oh, this evening, you see, it's really this teaching, that the teaching of a loving Almighty God, these waves, this storm, necessary, for we find them in the middle of the sea, 2 to 3 miles out from the shore, and the wind contrary to them, everything going against them. There they are, toiling and rowing. And, well, we find them in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour. And still, they're fighting and battling, spending their strength for naught, as it were, rowing against this contrary wind. Oh, but and still he hadn't come to them. Still he hadn't come. You know, friends, it's often like that with the Lord's dear children. You know, the fourth watch of the night comes. Oh, we want the Lord to be with us in the first watch, but oh, it's the fourth watch and still he's not come. And we call upon him. And we cry out for help. And it seems that he's not mindful. We feel forsaken. Hath my Lord forgotten me? Hath he forsaken me? Oh, why has he sent me on this voyage? Why have I set sail? You see, we begin doubting, don't we? Did I hear his voice? Did he constrain me? Oh, and then, you know, sadly and solemnly, is he? Is it he? Is it the Lord Jesus? Is he my Saviour? Is he really mighty to save? Oh, am I loved with that everlasting love? Am I ever under his watchful eye? You know, we can come to some solemn places in this fourth watch of the night. But though they couldn't see him, yet he saw them. We read in one of the other Gospels, the account there, that he saw them toiling and rowing. Oh, and not too late, but not too early. He ever knows the right time, the best time, for his honour and glory, for his honour and glory, and for his people's real good, the perfect time, the right time. The Lord came walking on the sea, and they saw him. And it troubled them. In the distance, the Lord Jesus walking on the sea, is it a spirit? They cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. You know, what a wonderful thing it would be this evening. Those of you who feel to be in that fourth watch, oh, to hear his voice saying, it is I. It is I. Be not afraid. That will make all the difference this evening, won't it? That will turn your night to day, won't it? The Lord, hearing his voice, it will be like the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh, coming. He cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Oh, she hears his voice and she delights in it. It's what her heart desires. Is it what you desire this evening, beloved friends, to hear this voice, this still small voice? Oh, you long to hear him say, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It's all needful. It's all necessary. It's I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You see, he knew if it was his Lord and Master, that it, with one word he could overcome all things. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come. And under the gracious influence of the Holy Spirit, that one word constrained Peter, and he stepped out of the boat, and he began walking on the sea. This is a boat that's caught up in the middle of a storm. The winds are contrary. The waves are rolling. And there Peter, under one word from his master, come, and he steps out. And he begins walking on the sea, on the water, towards the Lord Jesus. Really, literally, Peter walked on the water. And, you know, literally, he looked around at all these waves and billows that were around him. He began to sink. How does this apply then to you and I this evening? How has this been laid upon my spirit? Well, beloved friends, what a lesson to be learnt here. Peter literally walked on the water, doing what no other man has done before or since. He walked on the water and began walking. A thing that is beyond reason to us, unthinkable. It's a miracle, a true miracle, but performed by a mere man under the command and the upholding mercy of God. He walked or literally on the water. But what this is the lesson, friends, that he took his eyes off his dear Saviour. Surely that speaks volumes to you and me this evening. Peter there, walking on the water, and yet you see his eyes wandered. You know there must be a singleness of eye. If the Lord speaks to a poor sinner, come. Come away from this world. He says to a poor sinner, come unto me. You know there must be that singleness of eye. We must have only eyes for the Saviour. We sadly don't. The Lord's people, many of you here will have proved this. The Lord has begun a work of grace in your heart. You've called upon him and said, Lord, bid me come. And the Lord in love and mercy has said, come, poor trembling sinner. And you've begun your little walk toward him. You've begun your pilgrimage toward him. You're a coming sinner. But oh, to be taught that vital teaching that it's only leaning on him that you can come. Only trusting in him that you can come. Only with your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus can you come. You see, there's nothing more miraculous than the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to a poor, guilty, lost, ruined sinner, come. And that sinner venturing in faith, in dependence, in need. But that's a greater miracle, friend, for a poor, trembling sinner to come than it was for Peter to step out of that boat that night. You know, how similar. Beloved friends, the waves and the billows. When the Lord Jesus answers this call, in love a poor sinner says, Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning. Lord, make me hear thy voice. A guilty sinner in all his need, brought to the ends of the world, the ends of the earth, prostrate at the feet of the Lord Jesus, crying out, give me Christ or else I die. And the Lord Jesus reaches out his hand and he lifts the sinner's eyes up. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But oh, friends, that is then not grounds for us to then let our eyes wander. Oh, that we may, by the Holy Spirit's power working in us, have our eyes fixed on him, fixed on the Lord Jesus. You see, Peter needed to be shown. Peter needed to be taught. With the Lord Jesus working in your heart, working with you, you can do anything. But oh, without him, we can do nothing. Oh, the looking around. You see, he ventures from the boat, and there's the waves there, and there's the wind there. And there's a realization of what he's doing. And there's a feeling of his own utter worthlessness as he's stepping on this water and he's walking. And then, you see, he looks around and he sees the impossibility of it. And doubts come in and fears. And his eyes are taken off the Saviour. Taken off the Saviour. Have you ever had that, friend? Have you ever had your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus? And in love and in obedience, oh, in your utter need and dependence upon him, you've ventured in faith. And you've come and you've gone a few steps. And then, oh, the storm. Doesn't Satan kick up a storm? You see, what a storm he'll kick up. What winds will blow into your soul. What buffets you'll be tempted with. You see, the sinner that steps toward the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, drawn by that resistless hand. You see, there's an angered enemy. His head's above the parapet. There's the onslaught. Oh, and you see, without our eyes fixed on him, Satan begins to blow. And without our eyes fixed on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, you see, we'll take notice of things. Think of David. When Satan buffeted him, what a storm he kicked up. See, David took his eyes off the Saviour. His eyes lighted on a woman. Satan tempting him. Beloved friends, and down we spiral. Peter proved it literally, didn't he? He began to sink. And it's so with the Lord's dear people. You know, we sink in temptation. We think we can stand. Sometimes we get puffed up a little bit in our own self-righteousness. Sometimes we get puffed up a little bit in our own humility. Sometimes we get puffed up a little bit in what other people think of us. And when we pray publicly and what people think of us, and we have this little elevating. You see, the Lord won't have that. We're to be humble. We're to have the mind of Christ in us. We're to be stripped of everything that comes short. We must be wholly dependent on him. He's a loving Saviour. His arms, those everlasting arms, they're mighty, they're strong, but he knows every soul that's leaning on them. And you know, if you and I are amongst his dear people, that's where he'll have us, leaning hard on him. You cannot lean too hard. It's when we trust the arm of flesh. It's when we think that we can take our eyes off him. It's when we let our eyes wander. Oh, that the temptation comes in. Or our eyes wander and we see other people and maybe providentially they're prospering and we're not. Or there's that covetous spirit in us. And you see, down we begin to go. Down we begin to sink. You know, beloved friends, maybe this evening, I'll begin really where I'm meant to end, but maybe this evening there's a dear, tempted child of God. Oh, and you feel yourself to be cold and dark, and you feel that love of Christ in your heart not what it once was. You see that things aren't well. You're coming and going, Sunday to Sunday, but there's no real life in you. Oh, there's that. You once had a zeal. You once had a burning love of Christ in your heart, but now it's it's very lukewarm. You see, your eyes are off the Saviour. You've begun to sink, haven't you? You see, you've taken your eyes off the beloved Lord Jesus. Oh, may your desire be this evening, bid me come unto thee. Lord, look at me. Look at me, where I've come. Oh, I never dreamt when I stepped out of this boat that I would ever sink again. I felt the love of Christ in my heart. I thought it would ever be so. I never dreamt once that I would feel so far off, so cold, so dead. Really, when I see this in my heart, it pains me. Could ever the Lord have dwelt in my heart like I feel he once did? Really, can he ever be this glorious guest in my heart again? Is there mercy to be found again? Oh, bid me come unto thee. May the Lord give you that spirit of prayer in your heart, that you call out upon him again. Beloved friends, it's not a once and then never again plea. Let me come unto thee, Lord. Oh, again. Convince me of my sins again. Lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ as my only hope again. Bid me come unto thee in all my filthiness and felt sense of vileness. Lord, bid me come unto thee. Oh, he won't turn you away. You see, there's this resistless hand that's reaching out already. It's an unseen hand. It drew Peter out of that boat. And beloved friends, it draws the Lord's people, and it's still drawing them. Oh, the hymn, doesn't the hymn sum it up? Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Oh Lord, bid me seek thy smiling face again. Oh Lord, bid me, enable me, permit me, permit a worm to bow before thy throne. A worm deserving endless misery, but pleads the blood that did for sin atone. Lord, permit me to come again to thy mercy seat. Oh Lord, show me those wounds. You see, friends, Peter began to sink, and immediately the Lord stretched out his hand. That hand, beloved friends, that reaches out this evening and reaches out and catches poor sinners is a different hand. Why is it different? You see, in that dark night, in the fourth watch of the night, when you're in your lowest state, when you feel so far off, the hand that reaches out, beloved friends, to us in our day, in the gospel day in which we live, that hand that comes through the darkness and catches a poor sinner, you see, it's marked. Marked. It has the marks of his love and his redeeming love. Oh, it's the prints in the palm of his hands. Oh, beloved friends, what a hand. It's a mighty hand, but over it written love. Oh, it's a hand that's engraved. Engraved. She says, my Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget the sucking child? That she shall not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Why will that hand reach out again, dear child of God, to you? And why will it keep reaching out again? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Beloved friends, if we knew a little taste Oh, the love that Christ has towards his dear bride. You know, we would be free of every doubt and every fear. Oh, that the Lord would give us more sense of that love, that perfect love, that enduring love, that love that can never change, that love that moved him to die, that love that printed those nails into his hands. Beloved friends, oh, may you be led to see that hand. Oh, do you long? Is your desire then this evening? Bid me come unto thee. Are you venturing? You can't stay in this world, can you? The Lord has given you a heart. Oh, he's taught you a thing. He's shown you a never-ending eternity. He's shown you a little of yourself that you feel you cannot stand before him. You cannot meet him in that day dressed in your own filthy rags. He's given you this desire. But you see, you read in the Word of God all the beautiful invitations come. Where the Lord says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And you say, Lord, if only I could come. But you want a little more. Oh, you can't come. What's the hindrance? Oh, is it for me? These beautiful invitations in the Word of God. You see, it's only words unless I hear it from his lips. Oh, it's only what others have claimed, but I want it personally. It's me, Lord. It's me that needs to know, Lord. I'm the one with the aching void that the world can't fill. I'm the one that must stand before thee. I'm the one who's committed all that great catalogue of sins. I'm the vile sinner. I'm the one, Lord, that needs forgiveness. Oh, do speak the word to me personally. Bid me come, me, Lord. Oh, to hear him say, come. To hear that voice say, come. You want it, that personal invitation. You can't presume an invitation. The Lord's shown you a sinner. You've shown that you're a sinner. He's led you to see that it was for sinners that he shed his precious blood. But oh, Lord, seal it to my heart. Give me that personal invitation, that personal welcome from thy glorious word. Lord, bid me come. Oh, make me to hear thy voice. We read in Song of Solomon, that at the end of Song of Solomon, we read that the companions hearken unto thy voice. And they do, and you see them. You've evidences in your in the churches. The companions are hearkening unto to thy voice. Cause me to hear it, Lord. Oh, I want to hear that voice, that personal invitation to me, a sinner. I know, Lord, that thou didst come for sinners. I feel to be the chief of sinners, Lord. Then break down this barrier that separates. Come over the mountain, leaping on the mountain. Come right where I am, dear Lord, and say to my soul, I am thy salvation. Bid me come unto thee. Oh, then, tempted ones, tempted that they've presumed, tempted that they might be found amongst those foolish virgins that we spoke of this morning, tempted that they won't endure to the end, tempted that they will make shipwreck, tempted that they can't continue. Bid me come unto thee, Lord. Oh, to hear his voice. Do you long to hear it? And what are those who know not the precious drops of the Saviour's blood, speaking peace into their soul, who have never tasted? Lord, oh, I hear there's room. And venturing hard, behold, I come. But can there be room in my Father's house for me? Can there be room for such a sinner as me? Lord, I feel so far off. I don't feel to be like one of the companions. I don't feel like to be the bride of Christ. I don't see myself in any way, shape or form fit for heaven, fit for mercy. Bid me come, Lord. Oh, I feel to be so far off. Can ever the love of Christ be shed abroad in such a vile heart as mine? Bid me come. Lord, if it is thee, you see him by faith, but he's in the distance. It's dark. You can't make out his form. You see him in the distance. Is it the Lord? Is he coming for me? Is he speaking to me this night? There's a whole chapel here full of people. Bid me come, Lord. Constrain me to get out the ship. Give me that personal, vital knowledge I need. Oh, that my sins may prove not a barrier. You know, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he still bids tempted, weak, helpless sinners. Oh, his work is going on, even in our wicked day in which we live. This hand of mercy, this hand of love, it is reaching out here and there, one by one. Here there's one brought into a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This personal interest, bid me come unto thee. You see, we're bound in chains by nature. Satan has us captive. And how well he has us bound up. Oh, we're like Lazarus. We're dead in the grave. And in the grave we're bound from head to toe. And when we have no way of walking, no way of moving, no way of seeing or hearing. And you know, see, we're dead in trespasses and in sins. But oh, there's a voice, that still small voice of the gospel. And when that appointed time comes, each one of his dear sheep, oh, they hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And at the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he knows when they're lost away on the mountain. He knows when they're lost, dead in trespasses and in sins. And he won't rest. He won't rest until each one is brought into a saving knowledge of him. Oh, this mighty Jesus, mighty to save. His work, the Holy Spirit's work, is to make known to poor, trembling sinners the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reveal to them in their darkest hours the glorious light of the gospel, to lift up the heads of poor, sinking, trembling sinners and see a mighty Jesus with his hand outstretched to lead his dear people to Calvary. Oh, and that's what it is, isn't it? You see, is that your desire this evening? We're to gather round the Lord's table at the close of this service. Is your desire, bid me come unto thee? Lord, enable thy Spirit to take me and lead me to Calvary. Oh, you know, beloved friends, what a mercy that even now, 2014, the Holy Spirit is still leading sinners to Christ, still leading sinners to Calvary, still leading sinners to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, still enabling sinners to look up into the eyes of their Saviour. Oh, and still granting them to hear him say, "It is finished." Is that what you desire this evening? Oh, to the Lord to speak into your heart. "It's finished. It's finished." Maybe you're like Elijah under the juniper tree. Maybe the way is too hard for thee. Maybe you've got to this point. It is enough. You ask the Lord, "Take away my life. I'm no better than my fathers." You daren't go on another day. You can't do anything. Elijah couldn't do anything to take away his own life. He wanted the Lord to take it. He ran from Jezebel, who wanted to take it. Oh, you see the mixed up way we can feel. He fled from the woman who was going to take his life, wanted to take his life, and then he sat under the juniper tree and he begged the Lord to take away his life. He felt that the Lord's work for him was done. He couldn't go on any further. He couldn't go on another day. Oh, take me away from this wretched life. Maybe you're in that frame of mind. It's bid me come unto thee. You know, each of the Lord's dear people, I do believe when they reach their journey's end, that will be their desire. We've often read, haven't we, the accounts of the Lord's people, those who on their deathbed who are unable to speak a word. And often, time and time again, it's, "Oh, Father," a young boy, I was only reading the other day, a young boy, he called to his father and said, "Lord, Father, don't pray that I will be kept. Dear Jesus, come and take me. Oh, bid me come unto thee." Oh, to have that assurance. Oh, to have that peace of mind when you and I are in the swellings of Jordan. To call upon the Lord to come and take that welcome day. When to be freed from this earthly tabernacle, freed from the toils with Satan, free from temptation, free from doubts and fears and unbelief. But oh, your desire is, "Bid me come unto thee. Oh Lord, I long to see thee face to face. I long to behold him in all his beauty. I've been granted a taste. I've had a foretaste, a foresight. I've seen him by faith, and he is altogether lovely. But oh, let my eyes rest on him. Oh, let my eyes see him without a cloud between. May I gaze upon him forever and ever and worship him in spirit and in truth. Bid me come unto thee." May God add his blessing. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Richard Field. Mr. Jempson is expected to preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning and Mr. Izzard in the evening. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 179. Jesus is the chiefest good. He has saved us by his blood. Let us value naught but him. Nothing else deserves esteem. 179.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each now and for evermore. Amen.